choices, but you don't get to choose the consequences. And so sometimes you got problems because of the choices that you chose. And then there's other times where you've got problems because you just ran into them. They just happened. They just showed up, kind of like turning 57 years old today. Across the finish line. Now, some of you are going, hey, that's a young buck up there. Thank you so much. I remember when my parents turned 40, and I thought that was so incredibly old. And now, here I am today, crossing the finish line at 57. And maybe it's not so much of a problem, but life is filled with problems. I mean, I've worked with hundreds, maybe even thousands of people. It's been a privilege to serve as a pastor in various congregations and travel rather extensively speaking for churches and camps and conferences and special emphasis services. And in interacting with a lot of people, I've come to understand this. People have problems. I mean, we just got problems. It's a reality of our lives. And I'm wondering if we could take a few minutes today and look at problems and see if there might be something productive that God could do in and through our lives, even in the midst of the reality of our problems. So let's take a look together, shall we? Let's look at Romans chapter 5. If you have your Bible, turn there with me. And while you're turning to Romans chapter 5 and you're sizing me up, some of you might be wondering, well, tell me, how is it that you got into the work of ministry? Now, I was privileged to be raised in the Assemblies of God, and I am a byproduct of people investing in my life for many, many years. I'm happy to hear Pastor Will speak of the investment that your church has been making in sending children and teens to camp. I was one of those many, many years ago. And God got a hold of my heart and directed my life. And part of that was growing up in the Assemblies. Maybe you've made this observation, as I have. I mean, I saw pastors, missionaries, evangelists, guest teachers, and speakers. And I noticed this trend. Now, there wasn't much to the men in the ministry. Now, I mean, I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but there were a few things I could observe. And I noticed that if you love God, serve God, beautiful wife. So I said, Lord, sign me up. And it worked. It worked. This is my beautiful wife, Lori. We have been married for 33 years. We just celebrated that a few weeks ago. Well, we've had some problems over 33 years. I mean, there's been some challenges in those 33 years. Now, some of those problems we created, and a whole lot of those problems, they just showed up. No choice, no decision, no doing or creating of ourselves. It just simply happened. And I wonder if God might encourage you and I today that our problems can become purposeful and God can use our problems to produce some really significant things in our lives. So if you are willing and you are physically able, would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word? And we're going to turn to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. I'm reading today from the New Living Translation, and the Word of God says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, who is an early follower of Christ, he is explaining to us that through faith we can have peace with God. That through faith, placing our trust, placing our belief in God, more specifically in Jesus Christ Himself, we can have access to God Almighty. So in Romans chapter 5, Paul is saying, hey, we have this great and glorious and good thing, access to God, peace with God, through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, just as we can celebrate what we call salvation, where we are saved from sin that separates us from God, where we have access to God, we are no longer enemies of God, but we are at peace with God, and we have relationship with Him because we have placed our faith and our trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, just as we can celebrate that and rejoice in that, there is something else that significantly happens the moment we place our faith in God. Something that we also can rejoice in. And Paul is pointing out this benefit that takes place immediately for those who come into faith in Jesus Christ. And that is today's big idea. We're going to look at this together. That for those of us who are in Christ, our problems become purposeful. Problems become purposeful. For who? For those who are in Christ. So our suffering stands for something. Our pain becomes purposeful and productive. But for those who are outside of Christ, pain is simply pain. Suffering is simply suffering. Misery is simply misery for those who are outside of Christ. So if you're with us this morning and you have not yet placed your faith or your belief in Jesus Christ, the problems that you have faced and those that you are facing and will face are merely problems. They produce nothing productive for you. Your suffering is suffering, your misery is misery. But for those who place their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, the problems that we will face, the trials that will come, those become productive for us as people of God. So this is the idea that we want to look at and we want to explore together today. Because I have no doubt, mere statistics will tell me that in a room with as many people as there are here present, we've got a lot of folks facing some significant problems. Some of you, the heartache is deep. Some of you, the hardship is particularly hard. For some of us today, the trials are like the waves of the ocean that just seem to keep washing one after another over the shores of our life. But could it be that whatever the problem, whatever the challenge, whatever the trial, for those who are in Christ, those problems become productive in that the Apostle Paul is telling us here in Romans chapter 5, specifically verses 3 through 5, that God will use our problems to produce in us endurance, strength of character, and confident hope. Let's look at it here. Notice in Romans 5, verse 3, Paul says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Paul is saying here that we can rejoice, not that we're happy about the problem. He's not saying be glad that you got this difficulty. He's not saying that there's joy in the problem. What he's saying is that rejoicing is a perspective that we assume as the people of God But rejoicing is not being glad about the problem. It's not being happy in the problem. Rejoicing is a perspective that I am aware that God is present in my problem, and He is at work even in what is unwelcome. That's good news, folks. Especially for all those of us who find ourselves in the summer season where it is hot outside, but the realities of your life may be dark winter in this moment. This is good news, where Paul is saying, listen, just as you rejoice over your salvation that is secure when your sin is held against you no more through your faith and your belief in Jesus Christ, may you also hold the perspective that now that you have joined yourself to Christ, whatever your problem may be, God is present and He is at work, even in that which is unwelcome. So everything that I'm going through is preparing me for something else that God has for me. God is readying me. God is refining me. God is crafting me and creating in me. He is making me stronger so that I may succeed. Now, I have to admit to you that sometimes Tony doesn't really feel and believe that so much. Perhaps the problems are so large, they're so insurmountable, they're so significant, that I feel as though perhaps God is setting me up to fail. You ever felt that way? Sometimes I struggle to hold the perspective that God is present and God is working even in what is unwelcome. Because what is so unwelcome is so significant, it is so large, it is so deep in its impact and its effect on me that I struggle to hold to the truth that God is setting me up to succeed. He wants you to win. He wants me to win. And so my challenges are not a coincidence. My challenges are providence. My problems are not accidents. My problems become appointments. As a person who walks in a relationship with God, I am under appointment with Him. God is in control, and He will see me through that which is occurring, as unwelcome as it may be. Therefore, Paul says, we can rejoice in this. We can be glad in this truth that God is present in the problem. He is at work even in what is unwelcome. So we rejoice. He goes on to say, when we run into problems and trials. Now notice the emphasis here. Did Paul say if problems happen? But he said when they happen. So he's not denying the existence of problems. I mean, this is one of the things I really appreciate about the Word of God. Everything is not candy-coated. It's not just all the good stuff. It's not everything that's just fun and flavorful. The Word of God presents the whole truth, and Paul, in presenting the truth, says, listen, friends, it's not if you're going to have problems. It is when. So problems are a certainty. Trials are a reality. They're part of our lived experience. So we should not be surprised. They're a reality for us. They're a certainty for us. Now, I have to say, in my limited perspective, that sometimes I think we are in great danger as the church, where we have adopted a message of comfort. This is the message of our greater culture. It's wide, it's deep, and it's broad. We want comfort. And we give up all kinds of things, including truth, in the pursuit of comfort. And God is not committed to our comfort. He is committed to the development of Christ-like character. And how is He developing Christ-like character in Tony? He allows problems to arise. He allows trials to come. It's a certainty in life. It's not if, it's when. And so, there are these problems and these trials that are going to occur. Now, let's also be careful, church, that we're not looking to identify that someone's problem is a direct result of somehow their lacking in faith. Or they must have done something wrong. I remember, I'll never forget it, one time I was in the hospital many, many years ago as a young adult, and my sister was undergoing very intensive treatments. She had been diagnosed with leukemia, and we were there in the hospital, and a very well-intended individual from our church, whom I respected, came to visit our family. It was kind of a height of the crisis moment. We had just gotten this diagnosis. She was literally on death's doorstep, and we weren't sure what God might do in this matter, because sometimes God chooses the ministry of healing through the gift of death. That's a different perspective. I mean, we would like the individual to be miraculously healed, raised up, set free, liberated, and continue to live a long life. But sometimes God chooses in that problem to give the gift of healing through the gift of death. So we didn't know how this was going to go. The doctors were giving us a very grim outlook. And so this well-intended individual from our church came into the hospital room. He says, listen, I know what's going on here. Someone in this family has sinned, and that's why she's in the state that she is. And I'm not leaving this room until you confess your sin so that she is set free from her sickness. Now, as ridiculous as that might seem to some of you, this individual was very sincere in wanting to minister to our family in that difficult moment and wanting to reach out towards us. But boy, I had to really wrestle for that perspective in that moment. Because sometimes, as Christ followers, in our desire to make sense of every matter that's going on in our lives or in the lives of others, we come to some misunderstandings. And in our quest to explain away what has happened and the problem that is presented and the trial that has suddenly shown up for this person, sometimes we might be saying something that's rather misguided. See, Paul says, when you run into problems, there is certainty. It's not every problem is the result of choices you make. It's not that every challenge is because there's a consequence to a decision. Well, sometimes we just run into a problem. I mean, it just shows up. Kind of like when I was in college, we were going to the girls' dorm. Now, this was a long time ago. I mean, long time. And the power went out at Northwest University here in Kirkland, in some ways, of that Bible college. And I was a really good student, but I really loved to have fun. And my now wife lived on the third floor of the women's dorm. And we weren't allowed in the women's dorm. And the power went out, I thought, I'm going to go see Laura. I'm surprised. So I secretly made my way in the dark up to the third floor. I surprised her, saying, what are you doing here? You can't be our rule follower. And like, you've got to go. And then all of a sudden, somebody goes, the RA is coming. Now, the RA is the resident assistant. They're in charge of the floor. And I knew if they found me on the women's floor, I was going to be the next example of why you don't want to be found on the women's floor. And so I took off running in the dark. Now, I thought the hall was a nice, long, straight hall, and in my thinking, I thought that there was a stairwell at the end of the hall. So just run as hard as fast as you can to hit the stairwell that we down and out of the other night that we were present. So I'm running. Well, actually, the hall took a hard turn to the right. But the interior of the hall is pitch black. There are no windows on the interior of the hall. So I'm running in good faith, believing I'm headed in the right direction, when all of a sudden I met the wall. My knee went through the wall. I left an impression, shall we say. Gathered myself quickly, made the hard right, went down the stairwell, and then never knew I was present. See, sometimes we're running in life, and we're well intended in the direction we're going. We're not anticipating that there's a hard right. We're not anticipating that something is going to suddenly come and suddenly appear. We're going to be faced with a problem. We're going to be faced with a trial. And Paul is saying here, we can rejoice too when we run into problems. And trials, problems are matters and situations that are unwelcome. How many of you have faced a problem? Matters or situations that are unwelcome. How many of you say you fixed one this week? Right? Like in the spider bite on your leg, and all of a sudden it starts getting infected, and you think, oh my heaven, what has hit my leg? Or your riding lawnmower breaks down, and you've been fussing over that stupid thing, trying to fix the bad catcher, and your friend comes and saves you, helps you. Right? I mean, sometimes problems, big, small, little, different, that they come our way. Problems are unwelcome situations. But for those who are in Christ, Paul is making the point that your problems, my problems, can be purposeful. That God can use them to create something purposeful. So he goes on to say here, when we run into problems and trials. Now, a trial, don't miss this. A trial is an opportunity to prove your readiness for promotion. Did you catch that? Oh, I hope you're taking notes. I mean, this is good. A trial is an opportunity to prove you are ready for promotion. I shared with you that Lori and I pastored for a number of years, and then we transitioned from full-time pastoral ministry to serving people in the behavioral health field. I worked for a number of years as an institutional chaplain, serving about 200 of the state's most psychopathic persons within a total confinement facility dedicated to mental health treatment, to the betterment of these individuals. But the last time that I was called into a trial was on behalf of one of the incarcerated individuals. They had the potential of being released from their indefinite confinement. And I was very well aware that my testimony was going to hold great weight whether or not this individual had displayed enough progress for promotion to be released into a step-down facility within their greater community. So the question was simply this. Has the individual passed the trial of progress? At the core of everything that was being said, at the core of everything being considered, was one question of this individual. Have they passed the trial of progress in order to be safely reintroduced back into their community? You see, a trial is an opportunity to prove readiness for promotion. It's true for you and I. The trials that we face, the problems that we face, Paul is saying they are a certainty. They're going to be a reality. Now, as we consider problems and trials, may we consider them in light of this truth, that a trial is an opportunity for me to prove that I am ready for promotion. Are you passing the trial? Am I passing the trial? You see, before I can graduate from kindergarten to the first grade, I've got to be able to say my colors, my ABCs, I've got to use scissors and a squiggly line and in a circle. I've got to show some proficiency that I have made progress. And this continues all throughout our lives, that we receive promotion as we show our ability to prove our readiness, that we are ready for advancement, we are ready for promotion, we're ready to move forward. Paul speaks of problems and trials here. Now, the Olympics have started, and perhaps some of you are watching those. and are athletes in order to get at Olympic level competition. For years, they have been placed in trial tests. Even when she reached the trial, Simone Biles, she was in the first qualifying trial at the Olympics. There was some question about her possible injury in April. Was this going to affect her performance and her ability to go on? You see, an Olympic athlete has passed trial after trial after trial. They have proven their ability for promotion, that they are ready for advancement. The same is true of you and I. The goal of whatever your trial may be today is that you would prove your readiness for promotion. My prayer for your church, as you give your pastor opportunity to pause, to pray, to reflect, to hear the voice of God giving further guidance and direction to himself and to his family, my prayer for you as a church and for you as individuals is that you pass the trial. Pass the trial for promotion. God, we are ready for advancement. God, we are ready for increase. God, we are ready for more. But we've got to pass the trial. Now, among our Olympic athletes are runners. And I know as you're sizing me up this morning, some of you have been thinking, how can you totally look at the guy? He's got to be from right here in Longwood. He's just the epitome of athleticism. Yes, I do. You might be wondering, gosh, he looks like a runner. I mean, he's just built like a runner. People ask me, are you a runner? I said, oh, sure, I'm a runner. Well, that's interesting. Tell me about that. Well, the Apostle Paul says, I'm running into problems and trials. In that regard, I'm a good runner. We're running. Now, our Olympic athletes, as they run, they are competing to achieve their personal best record. My son, we are the adopted parents of fraternal twins. And that means they're not identical. And we have a boy and we have a girl. And they came home to us at the age of 2, and they're now 27. And so our son, when he was in high school, he was a part of the track team. Or more specifically, he was part of the cross country team. And he was competing. It was such a great sport for him because the competition wasn't against his teammates. The competition was with himself. The competition was, can I improve my time? A runner runs to achieve their personal best record. Maybe do the same. A runner runs to achieve their personal best record. May we do the same, individually and corporately. Part of my prayer, part of my desire for you is we've been anticipating the opportunity to be with you today, and they've asked me, with a lot of faith, to join you again next week. I mean, that was a bold request, right? They didn't know what they were asking for. They just kind of leaped out there and said, well, I guess if the superintendent says he's okay, he must be okay to some extent. So, Jeffrey thinks they have faith in me. So, we look forward to being with you next Sunday as well. But my desire and my prayer for you as we face this unique time in our lives, individually and as a church, may we compete in such a way that we are allowing the trials, the problems, the pressures to be productive in us, to be producing in us that which God is endeavoring to create, so that I show in the midst of what is unwelcome, so that I show in the midst of what is particularly challenging, that I am a candidate for promotion. I am ready for promotion. I am improving and achieving my personal best record. I call it the PBR. The personal best record. When's the last time you beat your personal best record? Careful, friends. Some of us get stuck in the rut often times. We haven't made an attempt at beating our personal best record in a long time, and I'm not talking about money physically. I'm talking about growing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. When's the last time we proved ourselves in the midst of a trial that I am a candidate for your promotion? I am ready for your advancement. Here I am, coach, put me in. See, those who are in Christ, problems become purposeful. But outside of Christ, it's just problems. It's just misery. It's just suffering. But if you sit with me together today, if you've joined us in this house of worship, and your heart is one that is dedicated to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, may you, in the midst of whatever problem they are coming, they are present, whatever trial is today or tomorrow or this coming week, may you prove yourself to be a candidate for advancement and promotion. Oh, I'll tell you, that is a helpful truth to me today. God, help me to stay the course. Now, here's how you do it. Winning runners do a couple of things. First of all, they focus forward. A successful runner is watching where they're going. They are focused on their future. They are not distracted by others. You ever watch a race and the runners are running and they are focused on the finish line and a runner turns and they are distracted by another runner? I was watching a competition recently, and this individual was actually pretty far out in front of the remainder of the field. And they were running with great effort and energy. But they turned to look where others were, and as they did, they stumbled, face planted right in the track. I didn't remember as I watched, boom! They got distracted. A successful runner is focused forward. But our tendency is we focus on other people. I mean, I like to look at other people. I am like people watcher world class right here. I mean, I come to think about it sometimes and they're like, you're enjoying this with me. This kind of gospel sitting with people. You know, I'm going to hot dog by Depot Shop because I'm going to figure out that everybody that's coming through that line. I mean, I come up with all kinds of stories in my head. Where they're going, what they must be doing, where they came from. And we love to look at other people. We love to focus on other people. But if we're going to be successful in passing the problem, in showing ourselves worthy of advancement and promotion in the midst of the trial, we have to focus forward, not on our past and not on other people. Listen, let me talk to us today. Because I know human nature, because I am one. Sometimes I get frustrated with people and I say to my wife, oh, people. And she'll say, and you are one. So in acknowledging my own humanity as well as yours, here's what I know. We have a tendency to focus on other people rather than ourselves. Even more so in the church. See, let me help you fix your problem. Well, maybe I don't even think you know. Maybe the focus needs to be on my personal best record. Now, that's what a successful runner does. They're focused on the future, and they're focusing on their personal best record. They're not trying to fix other people. They're trying to improve themselves. May our focus be God, be at work in me, God, be at work in my matters. Work in me and work So, winning runners focus forward and they focus on their personal best record. The goal of the problem, the goal of the trial, is to prove our readiness for promotion. Come on, friends, I want you to pass the trial. I want you to pass the trial. I want you to show yourself, God, I am ready. Put me in. God, I am ready for advancement. I am ready. I've learned, I've grown, I've been stretched. You've crafted, you've created, you've refined. I I am proving my readiness for promotion. How so? I'm focused on the future. I'm not rehearsing the past. I'm not replaying the past. This is some of you need to stop rehearsing the past. As I was praying for our time together this morning, this thought came to me. I actually wrote it down by hand. Let me give it to you. Don't rehearse and don't replay. Resolve it and refocus. Don't rehearse and don't replay. Resolve it and refocus. We've got to be focused forward, and we've got to focus on our personal best record. Now, with the goal being to pass the trial for further promotion, this gives me great ability and strength and tenacity to endure, to keep going, to not quit. The Apostle Paul here, he says, we rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop what? Endurance. Endurance is the opposite of quitting. Don't quit. Stay the course. Endurance is about being consistent. I mean, many people, myself included, we want to develop character. We want to be deep in character. It's one of the things that I really appreciate about my wife. She's beautiful externally. But after 33 years of marriage, one of the most beautiful qualities and attributes of my wife is the depth of her character. And we want character in our lives. And how do we get the character? And not just any character. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I want Christ-like character. How do I get it? Endure. Endure the trial. Endure the problem. God is at work in the midst of what is unwelcome. God is present in your problem to be endure. Don't you quit. Stay the course, because as one who is in Christ, your problem is producing endurance, strength of character, and confident hope. So persevere through the problem, knowing that God is present, knowing that He's at work in what is unwelcome. Endurance is what produces the strength of character, and not just any character, but Christ-like. Sometimes I just got simply don't quit. Don't give up. Just keep moving. Just keep going. Just keep running. When Paul speaks of running, he's talking there about the pace, right, by which we live our lives. Walk, talk, crawl, and run is a natural progression of development, but we run through life. And Paul's saying, as you run through life, may you endure. Don't quit. Don't give up because the problem is big, the trial is sudden. It's shocking, it's surprising. You weren't expecting the Hulk to get the hard right. But there you are. Don't you quit. Stay the course. If you are in Christ, God is present in your life, meaning He's present in your problem today. If you hold faith in Jesus Christ, even though you may be in the midst of an unwelcome matter, God is working in that matter to create in you Christ-like character that produces a confident hope. So we are not hopeless. We are not filled with fear. We are not abounding in anxiety. We are confident in the hope, acknowledging that while there are problems that are present, we're not in denial of the reality of problems. We're not acting as though they don't exist. We're saying there are problems in our life, even as one who's following after Christ. And I know that there are people who will tell you, if you just come to Jesus, all problems are solved. But that's not true. That is a false gospel. That is a gospel that is in alignment with our current culture that wants comfort. So we try to attract people into a relationship with Christ by saying, if you come to Christ, all problems are solved. What changes is that God is with you in the midst of what is unwelcome. God is with you in the midst of the problem that is presented. So stay the course. Endure. I always said it about a tattoo. I was going to have the word endure, but endure. The other thing I would have is the words let go. It's kind of the two things in my life. Let go, endure. I mean, if you're going to endure, you're going to have to let go of some things. So stop rehearsing, stop replaying. It's not doing you any good. All it's doing for you is it's got you stuck. And you're wondering why things aren't improving, why things aren't advancing, why things aren't enlarging in your life. Could be that we haven't passed the trial to prove ourselves a candidate for promotion. So we just kind of stuck spinning our wheels. We find ourselves in the same old place we've been in for how long? The Apostle Paul here, he says, we rejoice in problems and trials because God is present in the problem, he's at work in what is unwelcome, and he is developing endurance. But I don't quit, I keep going. How do I do that? Well, one big part of me is simply with the knowledge that I want to pass this trial. I want to prove myself a candidate for promotion. I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to be refined, I want God to further his work in me so that he might increase his work in through me. So endure. And as we endure, the character of Christ is developing us that establishes in us a confident hope. Problems are present, but God is at work. So keep praying. Pass the trial. Prove yourself candidate for promotion. Let's focus on our future through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, maybe today you're joining us and you haven't placed your belief, your faith, as we call it, in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you find yourself surrounded by problems and misery and suffering. In fact, should like something become of that suffering, like should like something productive to come out of these problems. Simply today, as we're gathered here, and I give an opportunity in just a moment of my prayer, maybe for you the step to take in this big idea that God is present in my problems, and they are purposeful, is that you would put your faith in your belief in Him. And you say, God, I'm going to place my trust in you, and you would start there. Because Paul's words here in Romans 5, verses 1 through 1 and 2, are for those who have made that faith confession. He said, because of salvation, we can also rejoice in our problems. But maybe the first step for you today is putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Start with that. So that once you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, now the problems become purposeful. Now the unwelcome becomes the workshop where God is further refining and readying our lives for his promotion. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Focus your life by placing your faith in him alone. We stand with me today. Maybe that's your starting point. For others, maybe you would identify that you've gotten distracted by past or present circumstances. Maybe you've been caught in that loop of rehearsing and replaying rather than resolving and refocusing in order to move forward. Perhaps that's your step today. Refocus. Realign. Rather than focusing on the past, rehearsing it and replaying it, let's resolve that and focus forward. Will you bow your heads with me today? Let me ask all of us here, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Trust in him. In the midst of my troubles, in the midst of my life matters, I want to place my faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've never said, Jesus, I trust you with my life. But today, you'd like that to be the starting point for you. I invite you just to raise your hand. We're going to pray together. Maybe one person will say, Jesus, I want to place my faith, my trust in you. I want to see you to my life. In the middle, not in place right there. Place my faith, my belief, my trust in Jesus Christ. Let us see your hands. Yeah. And there in the middle. Anyone else? This is your moment to say, Jesus, come into my life. I want to offer the gift of salvation. The forgiveness of God, sin would separate me no longer, but that I would be at peace with God. That he would take the problems of my life and make them purposeful. Let's pray this prayer together, and as we do, as you pray it, as a sincere expression of your heart, it becomes more than Kenny's thoughts and words, but it becomes your expression. As you pray it with sincerity, it becomes an invitation where we're welcoming Christ into our lives, welcoming the free gift of forgiveness, the salvation from our sins, and placing ourselves on a new path where whatever may come, God will be at work. We pray this prayer together after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I ask you today to come into my life, forgive me of my sin and wrongdoing. I commit myself to you. Help me to learn and grow, surround me with others that will help. Pray that prayer. I would encourage you to close our gathering together this morning. What we may hear at the front of the American. I'd love to just chat with you, touch base with you. Some of our church leaders will be here at the front as well to pray with you. We would love to hear from you if you said, today is my day of saying, Jesus, come live in my life. Now, how about the rest of us? Maybe you've already committed your life to Christ, but some trials and some troubles have come your way. Some problems are pressing your life. And you're challenged and you're encouraged today to pass the trial, to prove yourself a candidate for promotion. Perhaps for you today, there is a focusing that is forward in faith in Christ, and there is an openness to enduring that Christ's character will be developed in me. Join me in raising your hand if that's the case of you. But I am placing my trust, my faith, my hope in Christ, and that whatever problem present, now or in the future, God be at work in even that which is unbearable. Help me in this trial. Help me in this difficulty. Help me, God, to pass the trial. So with our hands raised, let's pray together. Father God, I pray for every man and woman here today. Our hands are raised, our hearts are open, we're acknowledging that life is filled with problems and pressures and challenges. And in the midst of them, you are at work. For those of us who are in Christ, thank you for being at work. May we realign our perspective today that you are present in the problem and you're at work in what is unwelcome. So help us to endure. May we stay the course. May we not quit. Strengthen us with resolve to be at work. Let faith fill our hearts. Let courage and strength come to us by the help of your Holy Spirit from within. Lord, we pray that as we endure, you would be creating in us Christ-like character and confident hope that whatever may come, you are present and you are at work. So strengthen the one that is discouraged today. Would you encourage them? Strengthen the one that is feeling weak today. We pray that you minister to the one that is feeling low and distanced and facing great difficulties. Let hope and faith arise within them that you are present and you are with them. Let them go from this place today, built up, strengthened, and affirmed that you are with them as one who is in Christ, and you are at work in even that which is unwelcome in their life. Thank you, God, for your presence.